In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. I was asked by someone a few minutes ago if I had traveled to Greece recently, and I mentioned that I was there exactly 3 years ago. As a matter of fact, exactly 3 years ago, this very night, I had the blessing of participating at the great Vespers of St. Luke, at the great convent of Evangelismos in Patmos. Patmos is the island of many saints, where St. John the Divine wrote the book of the Revelation, and Elder Amphilochios Makris, a very saintly father of our days, has blessed and strengthened this convent. His holy life, and especially now his holy relics, are a great protection for this convent. Amongst many memorable experiences, I will relate to you a story from an older lady who happened to be from my home island of Kos. The chances are that this lady did not finish elementary school. Just like my parents, I believe my father went to the third grade and my mother to the fourth. However, she had holiness. She told me that we were distant relatives, and she was happy to see me, so she began to tell me a few things about her life. She was a widow. She got 5 children, and she was very faithful. Every night she would pray to the Theotokos, to the saints, and of course to Christ. And on a certain day, the house was totally empty of anything edible. They ran out of food. These were difficult times, the times a few years after the German occupation, and this poor widow with 5 children became very desperate. The next day, she had to send her children to school, and it was the first time that she would not be able to pack lunch for them. There was no school cafeterias back then. She was in tears. Imagine the pain of a mother who cannot feed her children. And this very simple woman did a very simple thing. She simply went for a walk on the beach in Kardamena, a village off the coast of Kos. Kos, by the way, is one of the blessed islands that are written, that are mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament. St. Paul traveled in Chios, Kos, and some other islands as well. So at any rate, this poor widow is walking on the beach, and at some point she looked up into the sky and she said, "Lord, you made the heavens, you made the earth, you made the oceans, there's all kinds of food in there. If you wanted to, you could send me something to feed my children." Instantly, a very large fish jumped out of the ocean and landed on the sand, and she grabbed it and ran home praising God. Today, her one daughter is the abbess, the Gerondissa, of this monastery, and this is another story. There's another story about that And it is equally powerful, however, we will save it for another time. Here we must point out that we may have knowledge in this country, we may have resources, we may have many, many material things, but we certainly have lost something. We have lost holiness. We have lost simple faith. Holiness is necessary. Holiness is not only for the saints. Holiness is a commandment of God. It is a commandment of God. And Christ says, "Become ye holy because I am holy." Holiness is a commandment. Our general topic for the next 3 weeks, God willing, will be on the topic of holiness. The first week we will discuss briefly how to confess Christ. How do we go about confessing the true Christ, and how can we be certain that we are confessing the proper way? The second topic will be how to witness to Christ. How is our witness here in America? And our third topic will be about God's love. So tonight, by the grace of God, we will be touching on a few things about confessing Christ. And we will not concentrate so much on the dogmatic confession. What I mean by that is that we all pretty much believe that Christ is God. We have so many places in the scripture stating that Christ is God, and we can go to our Orthodox bookstores and buy books and study all kinds of articles that will show us many, many places, in many, many places, that Christ is God, Christ is Lord. It is important that we understand that Christ is the only true God, the only true God, and I believe last year we spoke about truth. As a matter of fact, we have recorded an entire cassette on that subject, and we will have it available in several weeks for you. We stated, among many things, that we cannot be sanctified without the truth. Without truth, there cannot be holiness. We need truth. We need true faith. In John 17:17, Christ clearly tells his disciples, when he's praying for for the apostles, for his friends, he's ready for the crucifixion, and his prayers to the Lord, to God, is sanctify them in your truth. So sanctification, holiness, can only take place in the true faith. And Nicolaos Sotiropoulos, one of the great theologians of our times, he lives in Greece, but he travels in Australia, Canada, and America, and he has been teaching and preaching the Word of God for free for over 25 years, and he's talking about the evodia, or the fragrance of Christ, that only in Orthodoxy, we have this evodia, or fragrance of Christ, the relics of the saints being fragrant. Myrrh actually comes out of the relics of certain saints. Not only those that have fell asleep, but those alive. We have Athenite fathers who are fragrant. Myrrh runs down their faces when they are praying, and it is actually sensed by people approaching them. So once again, according to Mr. Sotiropoulos, this fragrance, this myrrh that we see only in Orthodoxy is somewhat of a proof that the true faith, the true church, is Orthodoxy only. So as Christians, we do confess the true Christ. I don't think that many people have a problem with this, that Christ is God, he's the Son of God, the Son of men, but also the Roman Catholics confess the same thing. I must say that most of the Protestant denominations also accept Christ as Lord and Savior. They accept him as God. In reality, there's really a very small percentage of people that do not accept him as the Son of God or as God. And most of these people, most of these Christians, have been highly influenced by the New Age teachings, and these teachings have crept into many, many a congregation. Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons are a few million, and they openly proclaim that Christ is not God. But most of us, most of the Christians, confess Christ as Lord and Savior. One thing that's lacking in our confession is that even though we have the true faith, the saints, we do not attract. We don't attract. Our churches are the same. Our people are not flocking to us. We're always talking about honey, but where are the honeybees? How can we explain this? We have the most beautiful tradition, but we do not seem to attract. Why is this? Is it possible? Possibly because people don't see anything different in us. They don't see anything different. We talk to a person on the street, a non-Orthodox, and we go to church. They go to church. We wear a cross, and they may wear a cross. They have Sunday schools. We have Sunday schools. We have missions. They have missions, and even better. We have Bibles. They have Bibles. They have Bible studies, and probably better. So they don't see anything different to attract them, and that's what's lacking. We lack the aroma of Christ in our lives, all of us. We need to re-evangelize ourselves. We need to search the scriptures and our tradition all over again. We need to realize that the gospel is not only for the disciples, not only for the priests, not only for the monks. My friends, let's ask for the intercessions of St. Luke tonight, the doctor, to help us in this struggle, to understand what is lacking in our Christian life today. And we must understand that something is lacking. Something is lacking, and we need to understand this. This is very important. It is a great delusion to think that we have it all. It is a delusion to think that. Tonight, to honor St. Luke, we will use his gospel extensively, being that we are celebrating his feast day this evening. In Luke 9:23, Christ says very simply, "If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily." In Luke 9:26, Christ says, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the words of the Son of Man, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of him in front of his fathers and the angels." So faith without works is dead. Christ will tell us in St. Luke again, 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord and you do not do what I tell you, what I say?" This is the key. We hear, we read, we hear, we study, we learn, and we do nothing about it. We get a nice warm feeling that lasts for a few days, a nice warm feeling, just like taking a shower, and then nothing. Christ says this is not enough. Christ says it is not enough to throw the seed. The seed has to grow. The seed has to produce fruit, or else we have nothing. So we need to take a close look at the directions that Christ himself gave to his disciples. He wants the disciples to make the true confession to the world. So he called them to go out and confess, to be his witnesses, to confess to the world. So let's look at the perfect direction that he gave to his disciples and everyone through them. Again, in St. Luke's Gospel, he gives us a great example. And here we must thank Father John, because the Spirit guided him to have a prayer service before our talk tonight. And this is great because we can talk here all night, but if the Spirit of God does not work, we will gain absolutely nothing. Christ taught us the first big lesson on how to talk to other people. Before he selected his 12 disciples, he was holding an all-night vigil. And we do have all-night vigils in our faith. We certainly do. We have monasteries, and I'm going to say a few things about them at the end of our session tonight. And these convents and monasteries hold all-night vigils because Christ had all-night vigils. The Bible says, and St. Luke says this, that he was on the mountain praying all through the night because the next day he would be selecting the 12 disciples. And after that all-night vigil, he performed a few miracles. He healed several hundred people. Everyone that got near him was healed. And they brought people from all over, and he healed them. All this to strengthen the disciples' faith. And now, after the vigil and after the miracles, he begins to teach some of the basic and most dear words to his disciples and to everyone present. St. Luke says that he looked to the 12, to those that chose to be disciples, and he's showing us the perfect way of discipleship. Are we his disciples today? And if we think we are, why is it that our homes, our neighbors, our friends are not changed? Why people around us are not listening to us? Why our neighbors are not being changed? We certainly want all these people around us to be changed. However, we don't want to change anything about ourselves. No, we must change as well. We must change. If we want our children to pray for 10 minutes, we must pray for 1 hour. If we want our children not to listen to rock and roll music and demonic rock, then we have to stop listening to soft rock. If we want our children not to smoke marijuana, then let's stop smoking cigarettes. If we don't want our children to end up as drunks, then let's start having cases of beer in the house, because one of the prophets says that if the parents are garden snakes, then the children will be poisonous snakes, and the grandchildren will be flying poisonous snakes. I'm sorry, we don't want to offend anyone, but the scriptures talk like this. This is true today. When we see evil snowballing, we can see the decadence in society from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. These things that we thought were harmless 20, 30, 40 years ago, how they progressed. So Christ began to teach the disciples, and he started out, if you want to follow me, if you want to follow my gospel, if you want to be blessed, he says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. And with this, we must mention that most of us have conveniently sided with Matthew, because Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, because it is easier to conveniently misinterpret the poor in spirit. And we have many different interpretations of what blessed are the poor in spirit may mean. However, Matthew and Luke totally agree with each other. Blessed are the poor in Luke means just that. Blessed are you the poor. Why, if you want to follow me, you must understand poverty. You must like and love poverty, because the Son of Man was poor. What do we mean by poverty? So we don't scandalize everyone. Poverty means to want to be satisfied with what we have, with what God gave us, and not spend all our life to collect and amass fortunes. If we spend our entire life on business transactions. Yes, we may amass some wealth, but we will not leave any time for spiritual growth. However, the more poor we are, but what kind of poor? If we go out and gamble everything, do we think we have a blessing? If we go out and drink everything we have, do we think that we will have a blessing? Certainly not. If we become poor because of stupidity, no, we're not going to have a blessing. Blessed are the poor means those that are willfully and willingly accepting less material things for the gospel. Blessed are those when they choose spiritual things over material things. Blessed is the employee when he tells the employer, thank you, it's a nice job, but I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to take it because you are forcing me to work on Sundays. And on Sundays I go to church. I'm sorry, it is a very nice offer, but I am not going to take it because I have to listen to my higher boss. And yes, it's going to cost me $10,000 a year, but so what? I don't want it. No, thank you. Yes, I know that my competition may kill my place of business because they're open on Sunday. They're open on a Sunday, but I don't care. The commandment of God is to close my place on Sunday. I'm choosing to become poor for the glory of God. I am choosing to live in a smaller house, or at least in a house that I am comfortable in, so I can save some time to dedicate to my Lord. My friends, we want to be rich today, at least comfortable, and we are enslaved. We are enslaved by all these material things and all these inventions of comfort. Yes, God blesses us, as we said last year, but if we become entangled in this material thing, then we will have very little time for spirituality. And Christ says that, he says to his disciples, if you want to be my disciples, you are not going to be successful if you continue to keep all your gold. Matthew, you're a tax collector. You cannot continue to be a tax collector. You must get rid of the excess baggage. Remember the young man who didn't want to change because he had a lot of possessions. He meant well. He was enthused by Christ's teachings. And he said, Lord, I want to follow you. What can I do to be saved? I want to follow you. And Christ says, go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. He couldn't. He couldn't do it. He didn't have the strength because his heart was enslaved. These material things can enslave us. And Christ wants to tell the disciples, if you want to follow me, then get rid of this excess baggage. Get rid of it. St. Anthony was very wealthy as a young man, and he happened to go to church, and he heard the words of the Lord. Go sell everything that you have and follow me. And he did exactly that. You want to know something else? He did more than that. He had a little sister, and he took his little sister and gave her to a couple of nuns and said, take care of her. I am leaving. Let's not think for a minute that St. Anthony had no love for his little sister. Yes, he loved his little sister, but he took the words of the Lord seriously. He trusted his little sister in the hands of God. God says, if you love mother, father, child, daughter, son, husband, wife more than me, you're not worthy of me. St. Anthony had simple faith, and he thought, the creator of the world, the master of the universe, He can easily take care of a small child much better than I possibly could. So St. Luke says, blessed are the poor, while St. Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, meaning that blessed are the poor that are willfully and willingly become poor by their own will. And that's what in spirit means. This is something very important for us here in this country, because we must begin to realize that these material things are not going to help our soul. Once again, we have families, we must provide for them, but the excess is killing us spiritually. And Christ continues to teach his disciples. And he says, if someone takes your cloak, and this is a tough one, if someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic as well. In other words, if you take something that you have, let him take it. Let him take that and give him something else too. Not us, who certainly don't act like that here today. We want our rights. We want to fight for our rights. We even have an Orthodox feminist movement these days fighting for their spiritual rights. We want our rights. Christ talks against this type of thing. He tells his disciples, forget your rights for the sake of the gospel. Give to everyone and anyone who asks you. And if anyone takes from you, take something that belongs to you, do not demand it back. But not us. We run the courts. We go to court all the time for $500, $1,000 against people that we know, possibly other Orthodox. And this is terrible, because the commandment of God says, do not demand these things back, because by you acting like this, you will work on their conscience and you will change them. Let's listen to a wonderful story by Father Philotheos Zervakos. Father Nicholas Planas, and now a saint of our church, was one of the greatest priests, and he's known for his humility and holiness. He was very short in stature, very unimpressive, and very, very humble and quite a pushover. As a matter of fact, his first parish was on one of the outskirts of Athens, and I believe there were seven or eight families were the extent of his congregation in a little church of St. Elisha, I believe. At any rate, soon, as we said earlier, when honey is there, honeybees gather, and hundreds of people used to come all the way from Athens to co-worship with Father Nicholas Planas. He had a chanter by the name of Aleko, who used to have a drinking problem, Father Philotheos Zervakos says. And Aleko would go out, have a few drinks, and during chanting, his emotions would take over, and he would begin to weep. Father Philotheos Zervakos and a lot of the young theologians that used to visit there and the other chanters, they used to advise Father Nicholas Planas, look, he's a drunk, get rid of him, he's making us look bad. He's crying because he was drinking before. And Father Nicholas Planas used to say, no, 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 he's crying because he's coming to contrition. No, let him go, Aleko is good, Aleko is good, don't bother him. Well, Aleko got so rude over the years that he used to go inside the altar during divine liturgy and help himself to the pockets of Father Nicholas Planas during liturgy. He used to dig his hands into the pockets and extract all the money that was there. And we must mention that he used to get a great deal of offerings and money from the visitors.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers.